me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old and up with the new. The heart reset my life, take two. Oh Lord have mercy on this weary soul.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
And here we are, live in the studio. This is Mama Mac, and we are so glad you are joining us tonight for this show live on the air. As always, with me in the studio is my co-host, Dr. Angel Falzoni. How are you, doctor?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Are you excited about this show tonight?
I am very excited about our show tonight.
Don't you love the new intro? Chris, our engineer, is amazing and created a wonderful new intro. And the voice that welcomes us, or everyone, to the show is actually my son, Ryan, which I'm excited about that, too. So it's kind of a cool collaboration there for our new intro. And Go Yard is all about hitting a home run in life and not striking out, learning to handle your problems better than you have before. And we believe, or we wouldn't be doing this show, that people there can really change, can improve their lives. We aren't one of those kind of people that think that nobody can change, that they're always going to behave the same way forever, are we?
Not at all. If we were believing that, we wouldn't be here.
We wouldn't be here, and you wouldn't be a PhD and a licensed mental health counselor and all that you are. You would have stopped long ago in your training, wouldn't you?
Would have.
Would have, yes. So we've got some great things to talk about tonight. We started a series a couple weeks ago, What's Holding You Back? And I think this will be the third show on that topic, What's Holding You Back? Because I believe, doctor, there's a lot of people that are not fulfilling their potential in life. They're just kind of getting through, just meandering through life, you know, just barely making it.
They're just existing.
Existing. They're not hitting home runs.
No. No.
And they don't even know how to do that and don't even have that drive or that push to succeed. And that's what our vision is for this show. We want to see people become all they can become, don't we?
Absolutely. I want to see people find their purpose and live it with passion.
Live it with passion. You're always using that word. You love that. And I agree with that. That's really living. That's not just existing. That is thriving, not just surviving. So that's today. We've got a great topic that we're going to talk about. It's all about, what do we do with the negativity in our lives? And how do we recognize it? When do we see it? What do we do when we see it? What can we do to change it? How does it affect us? I mean, we've got so many things to talk about on this topic, because I believe, and you and I have talked about this week, that negativity and self-doubt, comments in your brain to yourself about how awful you are, or what a lack of success you are, and how you'll never amount to anything, is the reason that a lot of people don't succeed. Would you agree with me?
It can definitely be a very key factor to what holds people back.
Right. So, what's holding you back, audience? We want to know from you, and you can call in during the show. Chris is in the control room. He will answer the phone. The number that works everywhere is 727-441-3000. I'll give it to you again. 727-441-3000, toll free, 866-826-1340. And they can actually text us, 727-417-0707, during the show. And I'll try to check the phone here regularly, but that's 727-417-0707. So it's this topic of negativity. Can you even define what negativity is? I guess it's pretty self-explanatory, but...
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
Negativity is anything that has a negative connotation to it, downgrading, degrading, taking things lower than, and that's, you know, negative. We look at, you know, on the math scale, the numerical scale, you know, below zero, that's the negative.
Right.
And so we look at zero as on par. So anything that's below that is negative.
So there are people in our lives, don't you think, that have been almost programmed through their life experiences to be extremely negative. How do those people affect our success, Dr. Falzone?
Well, they can affect our success if we let them. And I want
if we let them
start there, because we can be around people who are negative without taking on their negative messages. And
right.
that's a choice we can make.
Right.
So they can affect our, because they can feed doubt and fear and discouragement and all kinds of things that will keep us from taking the steps we need to take. If we take their messages in and then start believing those messages, we will make our choices on those messages.
I agree with that. And I also think a lot of people have taken that negativity in from an early childhood period of time till it becomes their normal. And that's what they're used to, that those thoughts in their mind that are putting themselves down. You know, you're not going to be a success on this test today, or you're not going to be able to overcome all these fears, et cetera. You know,
well, you're right. Negativity is very contagious.
Ah,
and it's
good point.
Learned behavior.
Learned behavior.
And when
Absolutely.
We are around it, and it, you're right, from early on, a lot of us come from families that had taught us to be negative, and we take that on, and then we continue that cycle, and we're teaching our kids, and it keeps going. And so we got to stop
and
learn a new way of doing that.
Okay, what is the incentive for our listeners to stop those old habit patterns of thoughts that dominate their thinking that are so negative and full of self-doubt and discouragement and depression, etc.? What's the impetus to change?
Well, you will contentment, happiness,
okay.
feeling that feeling
yeah,
that purpose and passion,
right,
and satisfaction and success. And there's so much behind learning to recognize the negativity and getting through it.
So you're saying that our listeners can change old habit patterns. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And so I believe there's probably some ways to go about doing that. Would possibly the first step is to recognize that you think like this?
Yes, you do need to recognize that this is negative.
Right.
Sometimes we, and it sounds so simple, but, you know, I think sometimes we just get so stuck and that this is normal, like you said.
Right.
That we don't even realize we're feeding ourselves all these negative messages.
Right.
You know, in the beginning, we've learned it from watching other people, and we still may have other people, but you know what? We can't blame them because we do it to ourselves all the time.
We have a free will, and we are the ones that's choosing to allow that thought process to control us, right?
It does, because once we take on these negative messages, if they're coming from in our heads and the tapes that we're playing or
right.
from outside sources, then those can drive our feelings, and they do drive how we feel. When you walk in the studio and I'm like, you look really great tonight, you're going to feel something positive. I just uplifted you.
I'm going to think you noticed that I've already lost some weight since going back to Weight Watchers in the gym.
And if you
That's what I'm going to think.
Walked in tonight and I'm like,
ooh, don't like that outfit.
Well, you're not going to feel really positive.
Right. Okay. Great.
And so those negative messages definitely feed our feelings.
They feed our feelings. So you've got all these thoughts running around in your head, and they translate into how you see your day, how you see the interaction with someone at work, all of this. Those thoughts drive, they become feelings that you may not even realize why you're feeling down, depressed, discouraged today when you get up, whatever.
And they do. They become our glasses, as
okay.
what I like to call it.
All right.
Our lens that we view our outside world with.
Right.
And so they skew our view. It's kind of like you ever put on those blue glasses and everything kind of had this blue hue or yellow hue.
Right.
That's what the negativity. We're putting on our negative glasses, and everything we see is going to be through those lenses of negativity.
Okay. So the thoughts mount up, they become our feelings, the feelings begin to control us, correct?
They can take over very much.
Or they
so.
Can, mm-hmm. all right? Unless we stop them and change the storyline that's going on in our head, correct?
Correct, but it doesn't stop there, because then our feelings can change our behaviors and actions, because
Ooh.
They can impact our choices.
Okay.
When you're thinking negative and then you start feeling negative, making a positive choice after that's going to take a lot of effort. You're most likely going to fall into that negative choice.
Right. Okay. So it's, you mentioned this earlier to me, and I kind of like this metaphor about the toddler sitting in the back seat in a car seat. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, you know, a lot of people go around and letting their feelings in the driver's seat of their life.
Okay.
And feelings are temporary.
Right.
My feelings could change from moment to moment. They may change from day to day, situation to situation. How I feel today will not be how I feel tomorrow at some level.
Right.
So they're so temporary. And what happens is we let this temporary thing drive us and make our decisions and our behind it. We are on a crazy roller coaster.
Right.
And so it's kind of like letting your two-year-old behind the car wheel of your car and say, go, drive us where you want us to go. That's what we're doing.
Right.
In our emotional realm. We're putting our two-year-old feelings behind the driver's seat and saying, go.
Right.
And then we're wondering why we're in trouble.
Right.
Why are we hitting a wreck? Why do we have all this going on?
Or why do we have people that don't want to spend much time with us?
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, they know it's not really a real good time with so-and-so because they're always full of drama or they're always full of bad stories about this awful thing that happened and nobody loves me and everybody hates me and I think I'll go eat worms and all that stuff, you know? And that thing drives conversations. And pretty soon people go, I don't really want to go out to dinner with them or that person because it's all about them or they are always depressed or sick or tired.
Unpredictable. I mean, when you're letting our feelings drive us,
right,
we're all up and down and all over the place. And so like our two-year-old child, we need to take our feelings that are immature because they are immature. And
they
that's
are.
Okay. We don't want to deny our feelings.
Right.
But we need to keep them in the right place, in the car seat, in the back seat of the car.
Okay. And I do believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that a lot of times these negative feelings, which translate a lot of times into negative behavior, have roots in things like unforgiveness, resentments that haven't been resolved. And as a result of that, those things are driving the car, you know, of your life.
Can very much be that our unresolved issues can very much be. And any time that somebody gives us a negative message that kind of makes that insecurity feel true, then it like, woo, makes Dennis really taken off full speed.
Right.
We're going, you know, Mario Andretti speeds with this feeling.
Right.
Because we already had this belief that it could be true.
Right. So, wow, this can be so controlling. This whole thought process that we're talking about tonight is so important. People, we're glad you're listening tonight to Go Yard. You can join the conversation by calling in 727-441-3000. We want to hear your example or your question, perhaps, on how to break this cycle that is so negative and difficult. There's so many times, Doctor, that these negativity, these thought patterns, they overwhelm us to the point that we have no energy to do anything about them. Do you know what I'm talking about?
They're very energy zapping.
Yes.
Because when we're going on the negative, we're taking a negative feeling. So those are feelings of anxiety, depression, worthlessness. I mean, those are the things that zap us of our strength.
Yes. And it gives us, I mean, gives us no ambition. Takes away our ambition, takes away our drive to have a pleasant evening with our spouse or someone because we are totally inundated by all that negativity.
And then it's a snowball because it feeds and feeds and grows and grows. And so it can be that snowball effect.
Okay. We got to do something about this. We got to help our audience tonight, Doctor.
Yes, we do. You know, we're from Florida and I'm not really a snow fan, so I don't want to make snowballs.
Exactly. You know, it is snowing up north. So we are blessed to be in this wonderful weather down here. But acknowledging that we may be one of these types of people that allow our negative thoughts and emotions to control us or to certainly affect us, if maybe not totally control us, but affect us, I think that's a mighty first step, don't you think?
That's a huge step because we need to be able to acknowledge something before we can go any further.
Okay, right. And so if you out there in Radio Land are experiencing the things that we've been talking about and you say, well, I didn't realize I was that negative, stop and evaluate what goes on in your thoughts when, you know, when you're driving down the road or when you just get up in the morning or whatever, you know?
Those are great times to really do some self-reflection when you get
right.
in the car and you're alone or in the shower or those little moments. That's a good time to start thinking about what am I really feeling and is this a positive or what am I thinking?
Right.
Is this positive? Is this negative? What's really going on? And trying to do some self-reflection. What we feed grows. We've talked about the feeding and starving principle.
Write that down, audience. If you take notes on Go Yard, what we feed grows. Right.
And what we starve dies.
Right.
And so you can have your whole world succumbed with this negativity.
Right.
But you can grab it when you can acknowledge it and you can turn this around.
Oh, yeah.
And irregardless of what the people around you are saying, once you get your positive foundation going, the negative messages, you've already can refute those with the positive that you've built up inside of you.
Okay, so step one, acknowledge, evaluate, reflect, sit down, go to the beach. Well, sorry about you people up in Minnesota, but wherever you might go, go to the frozen tundra and sit there and reflect for a moment on, you know, what is going on in your brain all the time. Maybe what's going on is impeding you from becoming what you know you can or want to become.
Very much so. And, you know, a good little self litmus test is think about your future and what you would like your future to look at. Think of the end of the year. Think of 2 years. Think of the 5 year. What are you thinking? If you're having a hard time projecting your future, chances are you're having a lot of negative thoughts go on.
Okay.
Because negativity, it squashes our ability to think of our future.
And to dream. And we got to dream. We got to dream about what it can be. Yes. Okay, so we step back. We realize, okay, let's say the listener says, this is me. Okay, I get it. This is me. So you step back, you take a break. Why do you take a break and what does that mean?
Well, taking a break is helping us to gain some perspective. Because when you're in the middle of the storm of negativity, you don't see things clearly. Like I said, you're seeing them through the lenses of your negative glasses.
Right.
And so when you can take that step back, your feelings will change. If it's a day, an hour, whatever, those feelings are going to change. And once your feelings settle, you might be able to see these thoughts in a different perspective.
And what if when you're sitting back, taking a break and evaluating everything, you realize that this person that I allow to affect me all the time are really hurting me from advancing in life and fulfilling my dreams, my goals, my desires. What happens, doctor, when we realize, when we're reflecting, analyzing, whoa, I am always affected when the phone rings and it's so-and-so.
Well, then that's where the whole boundary setting comes in. Because once we can recognize that, I'm not saying that we have to set the boundary and push that person out of our life.
No.
But maybe we need to change that person's impact in our life and amount of time we have with that person. Just because they call in does not mean you have to pick up the phone. You might wait a day. You might not. You might say, you know, I'm going to limit my conversations with this person to, you know, a couple times a week, because if I talk to them every day, I'm going to get off and I'm going to feel like crap.
Well, what if that person's your mother-in-law or somebody, you know, in your life that if you don't pick up the phone, you're going to have hell to pay, you know, because that happens, Angel.
Oh, very much.
I mean, I have been there and I can tell you that there've been people in my life in the past that if I didn't pick up the phone, it would escalate. The situation would escalate because they wanted to be heard right then because they were so angry or whatever the case might be.
But that's that whole feeding and growing, and we have to be able to set boundaries. And if we continue to feed into that and give them that power and control, then we just gave them our power and control of our lives.
Okay.
That I have to be available on this person's beck and call whenever they want, or else I'm going to have hell to pay.
But when it's your mother-in-law, your sister, you know, somebody close to you that affects your life so much, the boundary setting, we did 3 shows on boundary setting. They're on the website here at Tantalk, the podcast. Go to Go Yard and you can listen to those, and that will help you set some boundaries. What about trying to change your circle of those that you listen to? How important is that?
That's very important, because when we change our circle, we can change some of those messages that we're getting from the outside in.
Okay.
And so we want to surround ourselves with people who I call them our cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders. I like that.
We want the people, when we say, you know, I want to write a book. I want people saying, okay, you can do this. Or how can I support you? Or we believe in you. Or instead of, really? Or you're that kind of mother? How could you take your time away from your kids to do something like that? Or that's stupid. Or whatever.
Right.
We need cheerleaders.
We need cheerleaders. So they can be people that really encourage you. They may not know how you're going to put it all together on, like you are writing a book. I am too right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I love it when people say, hey, how's that book coming? Or what's going on there with your book? You know, instead of ignoring the fact that you've told them you're writing a book, you know.
Very much so. And so we want to find the people that are cheerleaders. Even if you have one cheerleader,
one's
hold
better
that
none.
Cheerleader closer and give them a more closer sphere of influence on you.
What about being careful about telling certain negative people in your sphere of influence certain things because you know they're going to run with that and beat you down with it?
Very much so. So we got to be careful what ammunition we're giving out.
That's what I'm trying to say. Ammunition. That's a good word. Yeah.
So if we know we have these people in our lives, mothers, mother-in-laws, and they don't have to be mother-in-laws. We've really been
I know
hard
we
on
have,
them lately,
haven't
we? Haven't
yeah.
We?
Yeah.
That typically are negative. Then
right.
We can choose what information we share and what
right.
information we don't share. You know, we say who we share information to. We say how much. We say when we share that information.
So you're saying we have control over the amount of negativity that we allow into our life, correct?
And how much of ourselves we'll expose to these negative people. I mean,
whoa.
There's been many times in my life that I've had a goal that my negative people had no idea. When I started my PhD,
oh yeah,
there was only a couple people who even knew I was doing that because
secret.
I knew I had all these negative people that were going, and it was a hard goal that I had to stay focused, and I didn't know
well,
that I could overcome all that negativity. So they had no clue.
They didn't know.
No
three
clue.
Boys. We're going to go to a break here in just a second, but three boys, now teenagers, yours, and it was you realized that if you told too many people, especially the wrong people, they would make you feel like there was no way that
exactly.
you could accomplish this, right?
Very much so.
Wow. That's a really good point to make to our listening audience today. Let's have a commercial message real quick, and we're coming
alrighty.
Right back with solutions. What are you going to do different from this moment on?
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at 727-417-0707.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Oh, Lord have mercy on this weary soul. Come and take me to the river and make me whole. It's down with the old.
All right, we're back. And that commercial is the first one we've used on Go Yard. And actually, Angel, do you know that person that advertised for real estate?
I certainly do. It's our very own Mama Mac.
It certainly is. And that's my very own son who cut the commercial. So that's cool. But yeah, I've been a realtor for 23 plus years. So yeah, anybody that wants to advertise with us, we have now posted our rates, etc., on our new website, which is exciting. Megan Kramer is our webmaster up in Indiana. And the website is goyard2014.org. So go there. Our ad rates are there, and we'd love to have more commercials other than just me. Although, if you have a real estate need, feel free to call me. So that's my phone number on there and everything. So this is Go Yard with Mama Mac and Dr. Angel Falzoni, and we are excited about our topic today because we want to talk now about solutions to the problems that we all face when we have allowed negativity to rule us in some form in our minds and cause then emotions that are really hard to deal with, etc. What can we do about it? We want to hear from you during this next 30 minutes before this show is over. If you want to call in, we want to hear from you. 727-441-3000 or toll free 1-866-826-1340. Or you can actually text me right here at my phone, 727-417-0707, the same number that was on the ad, and that's a lot of sevens, 727-417-0707. And we will try our best to catch those messages. So, Doctor, we want to talk about things that we can do. I just had a text. Here it is. I just checked it. Here it is. Question. How does one diagnosed with bipolar and taking multiple meds pull themselves out of the depression that still happens? Excellent question.
That's a very good question, and that's a kind of a complicated question in that we're dealing with a diagnosis and we're dealing with medication. So sometimes when we're still having those symptoms of depression, maybe our meds are not regulated as best as they can be.
Right.
So that's definitely something to talk with the psychiatrist on that level. On a practical level, you can also start what we're about to talk about.
What we're about to tell you. So you listen, caller, because we're about to give you some answers right now for that very thing. We're going to give you some solutions here.
And one, two main things that will kind of trigger that depression is one is irrational beliefs.
Right.
And that's when we believe things that are not based in rationality, but they are strong beliefs, and they're beliefs that we will make our decisions based on.
Okay.
And so when we start making decisions on these beliefs, we need to like kind of look at, why am I making this decision, and is this belief that I'm holding rational?
Right. So we got to evaluate whether it's rational. If we don't know whether it's rational,
we need to have a third party intervention.
Have a mentor, have a trusted friend, pastor, somebody, and say, is this rational?
Absolutely. And it helps to bounce that, because sometimes it's rational in our minds, but really when other people hear it, it isn't rational. It's not based in reality. And so that can cause that depression. And the second one is that we're feeding the negative. We're continually, you know, focusing on that negative, and then we're viewing the world in that negative. And of course we're going to feel the negative depression. And so changing that is going to be to start changing our focus on positive things.
Absolutely, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But my phone is blowing up right now, Doctor. Here's the next one from another person. I think a lot of negative thinking comes when we are alone. When I'm with friends and family, I can be positive, but at home, alone, it's very hard for me. Would you comment on that?
Downtime can be very difficult because we no longer have the outside voices. We only have our internal monologue voice. And so, very much so, our negativity I call them the squirrel or the hamsters on the hamster wheel in our head. And we have that downtime. They can take over because there's no one to talk about or vent this to. So it just keeps rolling and rolling in our head. And so a great strategy that I even implement in my own personal life, and I encourage all of my clients to use, is making their wall of affirmations.
Okay.
And I use those little post-it notes like you have.
I do.
And I will write anything positive that comes across. If it's a positive quote, it could be a scripture, it could be something that somebody has told me, it could be something I think,
right?
And I write them down and I put them on my side of my refrigerator or around my bathroom mirror, and I read them every day.
I do too. I have affirmations. I read every single day.
Every single day. And because what we're doing is slowly, we are focusing on the positive. So when those lights go out and you're alone, you started building up a lot of positive self-talk. And so you'll start hearing yourself tell your own self these positive things back, so it'll overcome that negativity.
I totally agree with that. And for me, it's the scripture, because as you know, and you too, we both love the Word of God and believe that the scripture really helps. I saw a verse this morning that really spoke to me. It's Psalm 94:19, and it says this: when, not if, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. The promises of God, not if I ever get anxious. You know, we are all going to get anxious. We're all going to have those moments of panic. We're all going to have those moments where we doubt whether or not we made the right decision. And the psalmist here says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations, meaning God's words, promises, delight my soul. I love that.
I love that too. I love that. It's good. And That's exactly true, because we are all, it's part of the human condition. We're all going to feel depressed at times. We're all going to feel anxious. We're all going to worry. We're all going to feel negative.
Yes.
And it's not, it's okay to feel negative. I don't want anyone to think that this is not okay, that I have a negative feeling. We're going to have them. It's part of our human condition.
Right.
It's what place do we give that negative feeling?
Right.
And then what do we do with it?
I think everybody is deciding to blow up my phone. Here's another. Well, that's okay. You just keep blowing it up, callers, or you can call in. But that's fine if you want to use text. We find everybody loves to text anyway.
They do.
Here's another caller from another state. She says, in order to come out of negativity, you have to take the steps to set boundaries. Sometimes it hurts, but there is guaranteed success. I did this today.
Wow.
Whoa.
I love that.
Hey, caller. That's great. We're glad you did this today. Setting boundaries. We mentioned it a minute ago, but that's a huge step, isn't it?
It is a very huge step. And I love that this person texted in saying that it was difficult, because it does have pain involved in setting boundaries for us, because it's hard to set a boundary sometimes.
Sure it is.
Just the other day, I was talking with someone who is having a difficult time in their marriage. And I said, well, what keeps you? I don't want to hurt the other person's feelings.
Oh, that's not a good reason, though.
So it can be difficult to set those boundaries.
It can be,
because it plays on our guilt or our emotions. But it's not, we're not hurting someone when we give them a boundary. And we have to think about that mindset, that this boundary is helping them learn a boundary. And it's helping us with our finding our, stop feeding the negativity and finding our positive and finding our own contentment in life.
Right.
So it's a help, but it feels a little, especially in the beginning, it will feel awkward. It can play on your guilt. It can play on a lot. And it's difficult. And people don't like it sometimes when you're setting that boundary, but it's important to do.
Well, this caller says that's what she did today.
And
so
I'm proud.
More power to you, caller.
Kudos.
Yes. Which goes right along into another thing that I think we can do, and that is surrounding ourselves with positive people, right? Be careful who you listen to. Be careful the voices you allow to affect your life.
Absolutely, because the outside voices feed our inside voice. So what happens when we're around, when we surround ourselves with people giving negative message from the outside in, guess what we do when they're not around? We start feeding the same messages from the inside in, and then they grow inside.
Right.
And so, yes, we need to be guarded.
Right.
I'm not saying tell everybody who's negative in your life, go away, because that's not realistic.
That's not going to happen.
What I'm saying is, choose the people who are positive to be in your closest part of you.
Exactly.
And then you have layers, and it's okay to have layers. And in those layers, it's okay to not give people certain information.
Right. Absolutely. It's okay to not give everybody all the nitty gritty of your life.
No,
you know,
you don't want to do that.
Right.
And so that's part of our learning to set boundaries. And so I kind of, you know, when I draw this out with clients, it's like a whole bunch of circles, and we have our inner core relationship, which is our most significant human relationship. And then we keep putting layers, like rings, like the rings on Saturn and Jupiter. And people fit in certain parts of those rings. And each layer is how much information or what types of information I give.
Right. So you learn that some people, giving them the details of your life, is going to be used as ammunition against you at some point.
And they're probably not going to be your inner core, most intimate. And it doesn't have to be, it should be your spouse or partner, but
sometimes it can't be.
It can't be, because it's not healthy. And sometimes it's a mentor or a close friend. And
what's a mentor? Would you define that for our audience?
You know, I look at a mentor as anybody who's gotten further down the path that you want to be on than you are, and can help guide you there.
Gotten further down the path. I like that.
Because
so explain that. How would you identify a mentor?
Well, when I
mean, I understand it, but I want our audience to understand it.
You know, when I, like, for example, if I want to make to grow in my business professional world, I'm going to find somebody who's down that road a little bit further and has established some of the things I want. And then I want to help have them teach me what worked for you, what didn't work for
cool.
you.
Listen to their input and receive it. We got a caller on the line. Michelle, calling about negative solutions. Talk to us, Michelle.
Hi, just want to say I'm a big fan of Dr. Angel and you, Mama Mac.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool.
I just was listening, and I wanted to comment that it's really difficult getting toxic people out of your life.
Oh, yeah.
I recently quit a job where it was nothing but toxic energy, toxic people.
Can you define toxic, Michelle?
Yeah, just always real bad attitude. The kind of person that wakes up in the morning on the wrong side of the bed.
Yeah, there you go.
And, you know, just always has a frown on their face, their body language. They come in tired. They're gossiping about others. And, you know, so I had those kinds of friends. And for me, it was difficult because in the situation I was in at work, we were doing unethical things.
Oh, wow.
But most of the people there that you wanted to confide in or talk to, sorry, I'm not used to listening to echo of the radio.
Okay.
While I'm on the phone.
Okay.
They basically all did negative things, like negative behaviors. To get through the rough day, they would smoke, drink, do drugs.
At work? At work?
After work.
Okay.
But basically, what happened at work affected every part of their life, their social life. So after having a bad day at work, we would go out and talk about work. And I'm a recovering alcoholic, trying to cleanse my body of the toxicity.
Okay.
So I guess my question is, what do you do when everybody you know in your circle, basically, they all do these negative things? They have negative attitudes. So where do you start from there?
Are you talking about a work circle only, or are you talking about also a personal circle?
All my personal friends, too. Peers. It's difficult for me to find new friends or even acquaintances who don't engage in these bad behaviors and who don't have negative attitudes.
Wow.
Well, and I like the wording you use, toxicity, because very much it is very toxic and can very much impact. And being that you have your own history with substances, it makes you even have a greater vulnerability to always having to fight your own urges and your own past and staying strong, which can be very difficult from moment to moment.
Yeah, kind of lonely.
Very much lonely. And, you know, we talked about, you know, kind of, you know, at work, sometimes it can be trying to run our own race, do our job with our blinders on and kind of disengaging personally from the people we work with and kind of only being there on a have to professional level. If it's to this degree where there's unethical things, yeah, definitely that's not a workplace that you probably want to be associated with. And in the friend's personal level, it might be having to tear out those people with the negative choices first, because that's really damaging, and find one or two different people that are making those positive choices that can be your support and help you stay strong, because the last thing you want is to go backwards in your success of overcoming substances.
Right. Wow. Well, thanks for calling, Michelle. We appreciate it. That's good.
Thank you.
Great call.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
You know, we were talking about the people that are close to us. And my dad used to tell this joke many years ago. He would say, somebody would say, ask him, did you wake up grouchy this morning? And he would say, no, I let her sleep. So, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times it's the people, and he really wasn't talking about my mom, by the way. He was just being silly. But a lot of times it's like Michelle was just saying, the people in her work environment, the people closest around her, parent, whatever, can be so negative. And we've got to learn to change our inner circle, don't you think?
Very much so. And, you know, we spend a lot of time with the people we work with.
Yes, we do. Oh, yeah.
But we can choose not to spend time after work with these people.
Right.
That's a choice we can make. And
exactly.
That's a good boundary. And especially if there's all
boundary.
This kind of chaos going on, definitely a needed boundary. And then we can decide how much or how little we get into this gossip ring. I know it's lonely to separate yourself from it.
That she made that point, didn't she?
It's very lonely. It's very isolating. You know, sometimes you feel like you're an island.
Wow, I know it. So we got to go back. Here's some steps. Let's go and let's recap those, because We gotta learn to replace those negative thinking processes and thoughts with positive ones. And one way we do that is notes of affirmation. So that's maybe confessions out loud, who you know, confessions about who you are, scriptures.
Could be, yes,
that works for me.
From all kinds of sources,
Right. Okay. So notes of affirmation, or even on your, like you said, your mirror. I love that. I put things on my dashboard of my car sometimes, you know, and at a stoplight, I'll read them, you know, reminders. Message boards. Message boards can also be pictures of what you want to be and become and look like and dreams.
Oh, I call those my dream boards. I love dream boards.
Aren't those great?
Because when we're thinking about our future in
yes.
those terms of actual thinking of where we want to go, it helps to, it's positive. And so we're squashing some of that negativity.
We mentioned that last week and I told the example about my real estate, but I have always had those kind of images up there that help me, you know, succeed. Surround yourself with positive people. We just talked about that with our caller. And when you are talking about people that affect you, I like the word you used a few moments ago, Dr. Mentor, and how important it is to get somebody that you trust, whether it be a counselor, whether it be a trusted friend, family member, a spouse, ideally, your dog.
A mentor can come from many sources.
Right. Your dog's not going to be your mentor.
No. But sometimes you don't really want to be your spouse.
Right.
Because the mentor relationship is you need that person to be able to be very honest with you and confrontive with you and hold you accountable. And sometimes it kind of loses the boundaries of an intimate partnership relationship when we let our spouse be our mentor because.
Yeah.
It can definitely get in mix up with those boundaries. And so usually it's better to have a mentor not quite in that
okay.
very inner circle.
Just had another text, and this one says, what about the value of journaling?
Journaling is a great value for people who enjoy to journal. I remember
explain it, because some of our listeners may not know what we're talking about when we talk about journaling.
Talking about journaling is keeping anecdotal little records of your thoughts. It can be written in words. It can be singular words. It can be poems. It can be lyrics to songs. Some people draw. Some people doodle. Some people mixture.
Kind of like a diary?
Could be like a diary. They could do it daily. They may do it weekly. They may do it whenever, sporadically. There's no rules when it comes to journaling.
But it should be private.
It's very private, and you need to respect other people's journals.
Right.
And as much as you should expect other people to respect your privacy in your journal, because that's your private space.
Exactly.
To work, whatever. And we talked about feelings being temporary. And a lot of times when we're having some kind of strong feeling, if it's positive or negative, those are the moments we really, really want to journal, because strong emotions elicit behaviors like that. And, you know, feelings are kind of like, you know, the Forrest Gump euphemism,
yes.
you know, the box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Our feelings are like that. And our journals
right.
can very much read like we never know what we're going to get, because
right.
we usually journal in high or low feelings.
Okay.
But they're great tools for people who enjoy to do them.
Right.
I was about to say, I had a client who walked in. The first thing she said is, I will not journal. And I said, okay.
There you go. She just set the parameter
because
for
it wasn't something
okay,
she
didn't want to do. Okay. So that's fine. Not everybody has to do all these same things. I'm going to throw a sentence at you. Tell me what you think of it and expound on it. Live out of your imagination, not your history.
That's a good sentence.
I heard that. That's a quote that I heard recently.
It's a great sentence. And so many people do live out their history. They believe where they've been is defines who they are and where they can go.
And that's all they can talk about
and
sometimes.
And that's it. And they're stuck in this
they're
history.
Stuck.
And
yeah.
if we always are looking back, we can't even begin to go forward. And we need to live in our imagination, meaning that we need to be living beyond where we think we could
dreams,
go.
Dreams, goals, visions. What can I be?
You know, I sit in a seat that I could have never thought I would be in even a year ago.
Wow. I know you have come so far. I've known you for a few years now, and I'm so proud of you.
Well, thank you.
And I've been one of your cheerleaders.
Yes.
And I've, you know, it just amazes me that here we are sitting here doing this new show, and I've seen you go from where you were to where you are now with the degrees that you have, and what an excellent mother role model you are. You've lived this stuff. This is not something we're not just talking out of our heads here, guys, or
no.
out of our hats. We've got another caller, but
all right.
we're getting them by text tonight. They're coming by text, and that's all right. Okay, so this one is just reiterating this same point about negative solutions. So you know, this is good. This is good, this dialogue. So live out of your imagination, not your history. So many people, that's why they're negative, I believe, because they've had all this stuff happen that's negative, that's hurt them. There's things that have really, guys, if you're going to call in or text, you need to do it right away, because we're going to be kind of recapping here in a minute and winding down pretty soon. So if you're going to call in, 727-441-3000 or text 727-417-0707.
You know, Mama Mac, to kind of go with what we were talking about, living out of our imagination and not out of our histories, Michelangelo had a great quote that we had on our Facebook page. And, you know, the greater danger for most of us lies in setting our aim too, not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark.
And achieving our mark. Oh, I love that. Read that again, Michelangelo.
The greater danger for most of us lies not in setting our aim too high and falling short, but in setting our aim too low and achieving our mark.
And achieving it because our goals are not set. I think a lot of people are so afraid that they will fail. The fear of failure comes in here, Doctor, that if they set goals and dreams and really decide they're going to change their life and turn it around, they're going to quit thinking like that, like they have been, stinking thinking, mm-hmm. you know, negative thinking, that they will not be able to do it. So why even try? That fear of failure, I think, is huge.
Well, you know what? If we make our mark high and we start working toward it, we're going to be better than we are today. Even
right.
if we have a goal that's 100 steps long and we make 3 steps, we're 3 steps ahead of where we are now.
Exactly.
That's not failure.
Right.
That's moving forward.
I haven't lost the weight I intend to lose yet, of course. However, because it's only been a week and a half that I'm on my new Weight Watchers gym routine and et cetera. But you said to me last week a word of encouragement. You said half the battle, something to that effect, because of the decision. Decision. Uh-huh. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, and half the battle is making that decision that I'm going to commit to losing weight or whatever that is, and then making a plan, because a goal without a plan is nothing.
A goal without a plan.
You have to have a plan to the goal, or else you're not moving anywhere. The plan is the roadmap to get you there.
So you're a product of your decisions?
Very much so. We're a product of our decisions and not our circumstances.
But our circumstances are huge sometimes, Doctor.
They can be.
And some of our
huge.
Listeners out there may be discouraged, because the lady who wrote in a few moments ago and said that she has bipolar disorder and can't seem to come out of that thinking and all of that, and that can be overwhelming.
Very much so. Very much so. And for someone in that circumstance, there's a lot of support that could be needed to get through. And so we are not a product of our circumstance. We're
okay.
a product of our choices.
Whose responsibility is it to change my thoughts?
We are each responsible to change our own thoughts. And the only thing that holds us
wow.
back, that the only thing that can truly stop you in life is your own will.
Wow. God gave us a free will, each one of us. Best gift of all. And we're not puppets on a string.
Nope.
We have the decision-making ability. Self-responsibility is huge when you talk about setting boundaries, when you talk about stopping the negative thinking, the self-talk of self-doubt, and where we put ourselves down. We've got to take this bull by the horns, do we not?
Very much so. And our will is in our control. Our choices are our controls, and those are what defines us.
Wow. So my choices define me.
Yes, and so many times people get stuck in this illusion that I'm defined by my past, I'm defined by what other people say, I'm defined by the circumstance that I'm in. No, you are not. That's an irrational belief and a lie.
So to the woman that's out there, and I know a few that might be listening tonight who are in this situation, to the woman who's out there and is married to a very abusive spouse, but says, I can't get out of it because, I can't make any life-changing decisions. What would you say to that person?
I would say you can. It will take support. It will take professional intervention and help, but you can.
You can.
And the only thing that's holding you back is your choices and your will.
So we choose to stay in our negativity sometimes. We choose to be surrounded by people that are not good for us, that are speaking negative to us and not supportive, etc. I think some people live on the drama of their relatives around them speaking nasty stuff to them, and then that way they can tell 500 people about that, right?
Oh, very much. It's attention
Facebook,
seeking.
Right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Even though we are on Facebook, and this show is.
They like to air out their dirty laundry on Facebook, and how many people can I get to give me attention? But you know what? We teach people how to treat us by what we allow.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to get my bell. Say that again, Dr. Falzoni.
We teach people how to treat us by what we allow.
By what we allow.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes back to boundary setting, learning to set proper boundaries. We teach people how to treat us. So we encourage them to be negative with us if we allow it.
Absolutely.
If we allow the gossip and the innuendo and all that stuff to go on and to put us down, we are teaching them that they can treat us that way. Is that what you're saying?
Or that this is okay and we are accepting
this
of this. And
oh, my. We got so much more to talk about, Doctor, and we are at the end of our time, and we love doing this show. I think this is our 10th show, maybe, something like that. I don't know.
9, 10,
we lost count. Go to the radio station's podcast page. Go halfway down, hit the link, and go to the Go Yard page to hear past shows. And we have a new website. We want you to go there, GoYard2014.org. Also, Facebook. Facebook.com. What is it? Or Facebook.com/GoYard1340. There you go. We want to hear from you next week. We hope you have a great week. Got a question for you. Before I do, what would you like to say as we get out of here, Doctor?
Well, you know what? I would like to say that I want you guys to start looking at the negative messages that you're letting in, and so let's start identifying that. And I want to give a great big shout out to my SQL community-based team. You guys rock. Thank you so much.
Woo, all right. So think about it this week, listening audience. What's holding you back?